Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer of Winthrop Capital Management. And with me is Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
And Adam Coons. Adam.
Monday.
How are you, man?
Doing well.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did.
What, did you watch the end of the Tour de France?
I did.
It's pretty cool, wasn't it? So we have actually my daughter's boyfriend's sister, connect the dots. So he's a French citizen, so his sister's over there. So she sent us a video of them coming into Paris. So I'm watching it on TV, and then I'm seeing her video. It's actually really cool. I love that last stage. All right, well, let's shift. We've got a lot of sports things to cover. I miss Charlie's sports report.
Yes.
The Cubs. Shout out to Charlie. The Cubs they're not going to make it, dude. All right, so let's start with the economy, and then we'll talk a little bit about the shift, what we think is a shift in coming in monetary policy. We'll talk about some earnings. But one of the assumptions, it's interesting when you assume things, how it can make for a bad decision or an incorrect decision, not a bad decision. So, I mean, one of the, our thesis was that the second half, we would see extended growth and the thought was that the vaccine would be able to control the spread of the COVID virus. It'd be very effective in spreading the virus, and that the economy would reopen, and we'd see that coming through predominantly the service sector, the restaurants, conventions, conferences, sporting events, entertainment, where people could gather. And the assumption we made was that the vaccine would control the spread of the virus. It would be effective. The part that was flawed in that assumption was that everybody would take the vaccine. And what's been stunning is the large amount of the population that has chosen not to take the vaccine. And so what's happening is we're seeing a reacceleration in the spread of the virus. And that's causing, I think, some market disruption. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But the importance of that is when you look at the areas around the country, like the southern part of Missouri and northern Arkansas, the Ozarks, when you look at Los Angeles went into a lockdown again.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, not a lockdown, a mask mandate. So we're starting to see parts of the country seriously take steps to protect citizens from the spread of this variant. Didn't think that part through in terms of what that assumption was. It was just assumed that the vaccine would be effective in controlling the spread of the virus, which I think it largely was. However, if you don't take the vaccine, then that's, I think the statistics are those that are being hospitalized, the large percentage of them were unvaccinated. So anyway, no judgment, but here's where we're at, where we are is GDP grew at 6.4% in the first quarter. So we have this acceleration in output. There's still an output gap. The way we're funding the output gap is through fiscal stimulus. The fiscal stimulus package is larger than the size of the output gap. But again, the thesis is that we're heading into football season. Stadiums are going to gather. Baseball, you can go to a baseball game. You can start to do these things. And with that, then we'll see an increase in all of the services that are around that, the food and beverages and all that. So the labor number last week was probably the jobless claims number came in at 360,000. That's the best number since March of 2020. So we're starting to see the labor market normalize, even though there's still job openings and there's still a large portion that are on the fence as the incentives or the the unemployment extended unemployment benefits start to sunset. We think we'll see more people enter the workforce. So the effect of all of this, which is monetary and fiscal stimulus, is extended valuations. We're going to talk about earnings here in a second, but the PE ratio right now on the S&P 500 is close to, what, 24 times on forward PE?
On forward, yes.
And where would it normally be?
I mean, it should be, historical average on forward is around 15.
And so significant valuation difference. And that's on revenue, assumed revenue growth of something like 4 to 6%.
Yeah.
Or it's the equity market's discounted a lot of good news.
Yeah.
But we'll look at the bond market. So the 10-year bond yield now is, where's 10-year?
10-year is 122, 121-ish, depending on what minute you're looking today.
And a month ago, it was 155.
Yeah.
And so, and this is still in the face of an economy that's reopening, but the bond market is discounting a slowing economy. Mm-hmm. And potentially more monetary support. At the same time, the Fed's out there saying inflation is a concern. Did you listen to Powell's testimony at the Senate Banking Committee last week? He's out saying, "Hey, this is really a concern." So you got this dislocation or this disconnect, between what's going on in the equity market, how the bond market's responding, and at the same time, where are credit spreads?
As tight as they've ever been.
Right? We're historic tights. On high yield.
On high yield, absolutely.
So so the risk, we're those reaching out the risk curve.
Not compensated.
No. And so making sense of what's going on right now in the markets, the markets don't work. I mean, the structure behind the fundamental structure is the same, but the way that markets, the engine works, we think is different than it was 30 years ago. And so, and it's because of all of the monetary and fiscal stimulus that's in the market, and more to come. If you saw what Biden's budget is going to look like. So, anyway, that is the backdrop for what we're going to talk about today. It's a little convoluted, but it's one of those issues. The issue is when you look at risk, and a market is just a clearinghouse for the price of risk. Where is that price of risk right now, and how is the market pricing it? So with that, let's talk about some earnings. What do you got, Adam?
Sure, yeah. So last week, heavy week for banks, kind of pretty much what we expected, which was that overall revenues were going to be up significantly. Generically, revenues were up 40% year over year, so off of a very low bar. And then the downside was just that investment banking and trading was down because volatility was so high this time a year ago and new issuance was so high. But specifically, JP Morgan was a 378 on earnings versus a 321 expected. They did $31 billion in revenue, so beating across the board. Similar story for Goldman. Earnings were $15 a share versus 10 expected. Morgan Stanley was closer to expectations at 185 versus 166. And then Bank of America was a 103 versus 77 cent estimate. So beats across the board. Banks didn't really move much on that. And I think that was really just about, like I said, the investment banking and the fact that the forward outlook was a little bit weaker with the curve flattening as much as it has recently.
So one of the issues in that banking sector that you were talking about is those that have large wealth management divisions mm-hmm. and those that rely on capital market and investment banking. And if you looked at Morgan Stanley's earnings, their wealth management, I think profits were up 30%.
Yes, yeah.
And so that's non-interest income for a bank. That's stable income as long as the
markets are stable. Right? Stable, right?
What they put their clients into are going up. They get to take a bigger fee on that. So I think Morgan Stanley's earnings were really solid.
They were.
Because of the size of their wealth management division.
Totally agree. This week is a bit of a shift. We get a lot more tech. So we get IBM today. We get Netflix tomorrow, Microsoft on Wednesday, and Twitter on Thursday. In between there, we've got just some consumer discretionary like Chipotle, Coke, AT&T, Domino's Pizza, Southwest Air. So Southwest Air is one I'm really watching for to kind of hear. Now, once again, they're all domestic travel, but will give us a good, kind of barometer of how travel is picking up.
Speaking of travel, how much would you pay to get shot up into space in a rocket?
How much would I pay?
Yes.
I don't know how much I'd pay. I would do it.
Would you really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'm afraid of heights.
I'm afraid of heights. But.
So Bezos went up.
Yep.
I didn't really follow. I followed Branson. But
I did too. I didn't follow Bezos either.
Okay. We'll have to look at that today. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm fascinated by space, fascinated by, you know, the Hubble telescope and all that stuff. But I
not going up there yourself.
I don't need to go up to the ceiling and knock knock on it.
God's door.
Come back down.
I hear you. Plus, you know, putting your head guy up into that risk is probably not the smartest thing, but whatever. So to dig further into markets, you kind of hit on it, is so obviously rates are down a lot today and stocks are going to be down. A big piece of that is the fact that the Delta variant is showing that it can move through highly vaccinated areas, which is against what we've seen. So the UK has seen a large spike. Japan has seen a large spike. And to some degree, there's talk that the Olympics could, it's a very low probability, but could be postponed.
Right. And you saw Coco Gauff got tested positive. Yeah. There was another gymnast, an alternate on the gymnast team, gymnastics team.
Might go the names, but yeah. So, you know, that's really impacting the markets. And if you're looking, while the U.S., yes, I agree, looks still strong. If you look at Japan, I mean, they're moving. They're technically in a recession again. They've done two quarters in a row of declining GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Europe is showing some signs of slowing. So overall, I think that's probably a bigger driver. And if you look at over the last month, that reflation trade has kind of started to go away. Energy's down 7% over the last month.
Yeah.
And then last week, small caps had the worst week in over a year.
Hmm. So how does that translate into what we're doing with models then? Second half of the year, what are you seeing?
So, you know, we've been underweight small caps for the most part. We did put on the equal weight S&P 500, which I guess in a way kind of gives a higher allocation. That's held in there largely. It's still outperforming the S&P. It's up 17% versus the S&P is up 15%. But I think we've got to reevaluate, as you said, as things are changing, is reevaluate, you know, positions we have that they're in smaller cap stocks right now.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that fixed income, you know, we heading into this year, we were concerned about returns on fixed income, and returns on fixed income have actually been, in spite of this low interest rate environment, with the move we've had recently, have actually done really well.
Yeah.
So it's the best diversifier for a long-only strategy against equities is still the bond market.
It is, yeah. I mean, investment-grade credit over the last 3 months is up almost 5%.
Yeah.
And long bond, you know, ETFs are up almost 10%.
It's just hard with these levels and tight spreads is to literally fight the urge to go out the risk curve. When we look at diversifying fixed income with triple B or even a CLO portfolio, CLOs have done really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, if you want any yield at all, you have two choices: go down in credit quality or go really long duration, which both of which are not probably the best decision right now, given the asymmetric risk-reward.
Which shifts over into the equity market and payout ratios with cash flow back up, we're going to see solid payout ratios. We should see dividend increases. We should see, this is an odd time when stocks actually can offer income at the same level as the bond market.
Right.
It's bizarre. So
tough market.
What else? Anything else on your plate?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.